Jerry Bader Show. The Green Bay Packers did what I think is very well in the compensatory draft picks they got for their free agency losses of last year. Did you hear about this, Jason? They got a third-round pick for Greg Jennings and a fifth-round pick for Eric Walden. I think that's the way Ted Thompson drafts, and this is supposed to be a talent-rich draft, I think an extra third-round pick is a pretty valuable commodity. Now, they can't trade that pick, nor can they trade the fifth-round pick they got for Walden. They can trade, if they wanted to, their other third-round pick and the fifth-round pick. I mean, they could do that, which really then makes the rule kind of stupid because you are actually kind of trading that pick. But in any event, they can trade those two if they wanted to move up, and then they would still have those. So I think this is a pretty nice little windfall. My eyes kind of popped when I saw that yesterday. One other NFL-related note. We didn't talk about it yesterday, and a lot of people are talking about it. The move, the team owners are going through all the different rule changes, and some of them I think are really stupid. Do you see one of them would make a personal foul reviewable? They're going to make the game 5 hours long. Here's another one that on-the-field refs would be able to talk to the league's rules department. Oh, my. They're going to make the game 6 hours long. This one I like, and as far as I know, this hasn't been voted upon, but change the extra point, move the line of scrimmage to the 25-yard line, which would make it about a 42-43-yard field goal attempt. I like it. It would add great intrigue. Gannett sports columnist Mike Vandermoss wrote yesterday, imagine teams down by 7. It's windy, rainy, or snowy Lambeau Field. They score a touchdown as time expires. Now they need a 43-yard kick to tie the game or a 2-point conversion from the 2-yard line. Well, they're going to go for 2. I think it adds a great dynamic, but the conventional wisdom is it's not going to happen this year. I think that's unfortunate. I think it's actually a really good change. Something really big happened when I was on the road. In fact, it was when I was traveling. I wasn't trying to do Ed Sullivan there. A really big show. When I was traveling to Kalamazoo, Michigan, I listened to a lot of Chicago radio because that's what you can pick up most of the way. I could pick up Milwaukee radio for a long way too, but once I got to Kenosha, because I knew they were talking about this, I listened to talk radio almost the whole way until I could pick up our station in Kalamazoo, which actually I did around Gary, Indiana. I was really kind of surprised, Jason, but I listened to a lot of Chicago radio, and they were talking about the primary victory of private equity millionaire Bruce Rauner, who is now going to take on Illinois uber-liberal, what's that, Jason? Incumbent Pat Quinn of Gary, Indiana. Do you know, even just staying on the interstate, you can just feel the, I can't think of the word. It feels gray. It's just everything feels, I don't want to say dirty. That's not the word I'm looking for. Oppressed. Yes. Yeah, you feel like you drove into the old Soviet Union or the new Russia. I don't know what it is. And you feel the difference from Chicago to Gary. It's kind of like the winter road conditions between you and Green Bay and me and Ashwaubenon, Jason. It's like that. Oh, I got the city of Green Bay. Jason's like, hey, they can sue you for defamation of character. Anyway, back to the topic at hand, because I only have 3 minutes. Actually, I may spend a little more time on this after the news. You know that they're afraid, Democrats are afraid of Rauner for two reasons. One, Democrats spent $3 million trying to get his primary opponent, Kirk Dillard, the nomination. Remember Todd, legitimate rape Aiken? Democrats spent $1.2 million on his primary in Missouri. $3 million Democrats spent. That's how afraid they were of this guy. His signature issue is public employee compensation reform, i.e. Scott Walker. And, of course, it's been happening all around him. Wisconsin. Mitch Daniels started it in Indiana, and he considers Daniels and Walker his mentors. This would be an amazing development if this guy could get elected in Illinois, and it appears that he has a pretty good chance. And if you haven't heard the sound bites, and I did when I was on the road from Pat Quinn, he's going to just completely play the class warfare card. It's a rich guy. He's a rich guy. He's a rich guy. He's a rich guy. He's a rich guy. That's all you're going to hear. Here's the thing. I believe Illinois is ready for this revolution. And if you read John Cass, outstanding conservative columnist in the Chicago Tribune, he has been on a mission that Illinois needs the revolution that Wisconsin had, Indiana, Ohio, and even Michigan with Rick Snyder. Minnesota continues to be the big outlier in this region. But I think this may be the time and this may be the candidate. Republicans are energized by what Illinois Republicans now are energized by what they've seen in Wisconsin. It's a long way to election night, and anything could happen. I think he's got a really good chance. Now, remember, people thought it was amazing what happened in Wisconsin. Because Wisconsin, the birth of public employee unions and all of that. Illinois, the Democratic machinery runs that state. This would be an unthinkable victory for the conservative movement, more so even than Walker here in Wisconsin. And it would be a devastating loss for the liberal movement. Because, boy, if it can happen in Illinois, it really can happen anywhere. It's 9:30.
The Jerry Bader Show is sponsored in part by American Metal Roofs.